Good evening and welcome to episode 470 of the Jersnet podcast. It's Sunday the 26th of April and the podcast is going out live just now. You can of course pick us up on the recorded version through the week. And we'll tell you where you find that in a minute. Jersnet, of course, is the independent Rangers podcast made by fans for fans, where the content is free. Now, it's not just a podcast we have at Jersnet. There is a friendly forum, there are articles, social media, and a history archive. And of course, if you find yourself enjoying the podcast tonight, and you won't, because we're just going to moan and groan the entire night, but if you do find yourself in a kind of masochistic frame of mind, then please do tell people about it. We would encourage you to subscribe. It's not been a great week. Our captain is leaving, our supporters banned from Parkhead, and we can't beat Motherwell at home in a must-win match after a fortnight's holiday. Still, could be worse. You too could have to try and prepare and present a podcast on it all tonight and do it all again. However, you just get to listen to it. So before we do any more, I just need to tell you who we have to thank for helping us put this together. And that's a company called Forest Precision Engineering. And be serious for a second, they are a subcontract Glasgow-based engineering company and have been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for many years. And we're delighted that they're backing our podcast again this season. You can find out more about them by visiting their website, which is forestprecisioneng.com. Or you might well be interested in the Forest Precision Executive Lounge, which is a stunning hospitality area in the main stand. And for more information on how to book that unique space, email the club directly at hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Now, unfortunately, poor Jamie Martin has the unenviable job of picking over the bones of today's events with me. Today apart, how's life treating you just now, Jamie?
All good this way. Apart from that result today.
It wasn't even just the result, it was the performance. Yeah. It wasn't just, I know we'll go through all the various different bits, but you know, if you batter a team for 90 minutes and they hit you once in the break with a sucker punch, you can kind of live with that.
Yeah, you can accept that.
But that wasn't what happened today.
Of course, there's problems over the few games, Motherwell. I mean, even the last game at Ibrox, we sneaked a win against them. And listen, they played us off the park.
Yeah.
They're very comfortable on the ball. I like the way they play. And, yeah, they get it done and play. And they're slick. They play good passing. They're quick. You know, they've got boys up front getting behind us. And, you know, it causes problems.
Yeah, they're absolutely. Right.
They'll dictate who wins this league.
Because they certainly have a say, and they may have had their say today.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that might have been their say, to be fair. But we'll see over the coming weeks. Let's start with the game. There's a couple of other things I want to talk to you about tonight, but let's start with the game. The starting lineup came out, and this isn't the power of hindsight, but the starting lineup came out, and a friend of mine sent a text saying, really pleased with that starting 11. And I had a look at it and I went back to him and I said, you know, I don't like Gassama and Asgard starting. I can live with one of them starting.
Yeah.
I don't like both of them starting. I just don't feel you get enough. You get a wee bit. And every now and then one of them will do something really clever, but I just don't feel you get enough. And if you have both of them, I think that's you're just carrying too much at that point. It's difficult for me. I'm not particularly explaining myself terribly well. What were your feelings? And again, you know, yeah, of course we do have the power of hindsight. We have watched the game. But, you know, what was your take on the starting 11 when you saw it? No Suter, no Tav. Perhaps neither was a huge surprise. You know, they've not really been in the start. I was surprised Moore didn't start. I know that, you know, he was... A couple of weeks ago, had an injury, but I hadn't got any sense that that was still an issue. And I was actually quite pleased at Mijofsky starting because I kind of felt he'd hit a bit of form over the last few games. So that was really my only complaint, was that I wouldn't have started Gassama and Asgard together. You know, I didn't have a big problem starting one of them, but I wouldn't have started both of them. What was your take on that?
I was like you. I'm in full agreement with you on a couple of things. Mijofsky, I was pleased to get a start because I thought he was actually hitting a bit of form, as you said. However, when he does get a start, he just seems to it just doesn't happen for him. So I'm starting to think, is he going to be an impact player coming off the bench? Because I think out of the three strikers, I think he's a more accomplished finisher. But he was poor today. He didn't get much chances. And his work rate, for me, I think he's got to do a little bit more off the ball. And you mentioned, I've said this on many occasions, I would never have Asgard and Gassama playing in the same team, even at home or away. I think you're two men down when you've not got the ball. And I don't like it for another reason. My main reason is, particularly if we lose possession, they don't really, it's not in their natural game to track back and chase back and put tackles in and do the ugly stuff, as we call it. And I don't like it for another reason. My other reason is, I just think you're putting Raskin in as a holding player again next to Chikwane. And I don't think Raskin's a holding player. For a start, I don't think he can pass the ball out from the back. He's comfortable in the ball. But if you've got a holding player, you need somebody that can put a tackle in.
Aye.
You need somebody that's got a presence in the middle of the park. Raskin's not got that. You know, he's a wee battler, a real battle, and he'll have a wee moan up and he'll have a wee argument with people and he gets his sell about. But for me, he's more effective as an 8 than a 6. And I think if you've got Asgard and Gassama playing in that team, the manager's always going to be a little bit, I don't know, defensively minded in terms of, because he knows that those two won't be, you know, chasing back and they certainly won't be tracking back runners, which was evident in the first goal.
So what was the thinking? I mean, everybody knows how Motherwell play.
Yeah.
You know, they don't, as far as I can tell, they haven't changed their style all season. They're good, they can adapt during the match. But, you know, they try and dominate the ball. They want to play out from the back. You know, they transition very, very quickly.
Yeah.
We know that. They've got fast forwards. You know, what was the plan today? I mean, I was looking at that team, I think, and I'm going to come to this again, but, you know, where's the cover on the right? You know, if your Kasama's playing, if you've got Gassama playing on the left, cutting in, where's the cover? What's happening? Who's playing on the right? Because Asgard isn't a wide player, and he wasn't playing wide today.
You can see the team was clearly unbalanced today.
Aye.
And that right flank is still a problem. Obviously, you know, we've had two or three people try that. Gassama's been on the right, you know, and it's just not happening for us. And with Asgard playing there, Asgard seems to get a little bit of a free rein. And the boy has got ability. You know, you can see he's probably more of a 10 than any other position. He's not a wide player because he's not going to track on the right-hand side. He's certainly got touches and he's got good vision and, you know, he's got a good attributes. But listen, I've said this on numerous occasions. Whether I have him in the Rangers team, not, I wouldn't. No. I don't think he brings enough to the table.
No,
I don't think he's enough defensively. I don't think he rolls his sleeves up. And when the going gets tough, you know, he just doesn't get going. He hides. And he's not for me.
No,
you know?
I'm the same. And his shooting's terrible.
Yeah. And honestly, the right side, as I said,
I haven't guessed Gassama, the two of them, their shooting's brutal.
Yeah. The right side is midfield is a problem.
Yeah, and that was exposed today.
Yeah,
quite, you know, all three goals. It was exposed. You know, Motherwell's first goal. I had to watch it again for this, but it was quite interesting to watch it again. You know, when the boy shot for the goal, six Motherwell players in our box.
Yeah,
plus the boy who's crossing it, passing it, whichever you want to describe it. So he's not in the box. There's six Motherwell players in our box.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure we had six Rangers players in their box at corners. But certainly not in a break, you know. Yeah. You know, but it shows you how hard they work.
Yeah.
It shows you the distances they will cover during the match. There's six of their players in our box. We were outnumbered. We'd four defenders, a fifth coming back, but you know they just the boy ran, played a nice pass out to our right, their left, you know, played a 1-2. You know, he got it back, stuck away well. But, you know, the boy, the freedom in the park. You know, nobody was trying. Nobody was challenging. You know, we were standing off, and they just came through so easily.
Yeah.
It was a poor goal to lose. You know, it was a well-worked goal, but it was a poor goal to lose in such a big game.
Yeah. I was very surprised at Danny Rose, because I honestly thought he would have played Barron today. And the reason why I said that is the last game I was actually at the Motherwell game at Ibrox, and Elliot Watt and Slattery in the middle of the park, very good ball players. They take the ball under pressure, they'll take it in any position in the park, and those two actually ran that game that day.
Oh, Elliot Watt was the best player in the park today.
And today again.
Yeah.
So see, after half an hour, I don't know what coaches teams have this thing in their head that they go, I'll wait till half time because I've got 15 minutes. I've got 15 minutes to sit down with my players and tell them where they're going wrong and what I want changed.
Well, now, actually, that was one of my points, is why did we wait until half time?
That's what they do.
You know, we could have been four down at half time.
They have this not exaggerating. In their head where they go, well, I'll get it to half time and then I'll give somebody a bollocking or I'll change it. And I'll tell them why I'm changing it. Sometimes you just need to do it in impact and you go, do you know what? We're getting overrun in midfield here. Those two are getting far too much ball retention. They're actually pulling the strings here and they're dominating this game. So I'm afraid, you're getting a hook, Asgard.
Yep.
Dick Barron on Elliot Watt. That's what I've done straight away. Stop him playing. Stand on his toes. Stop him getting, too much time in the ball. And put a couple of tackles in.
And again, this is not something new. I mean, Watt's been doing that every game he's played this season.
He's been doing it. He's probably been the best player in Scotland this season.
Yeah, I'm amazed he's
in that position.
Yeah, it surprises me that. It surprises me he's still there. I don't think he will be there.
I think there'll be one or two clubs looking at him.
He's really had a quiet season. The second goal was a pass from one of the centre halves. I'm not even sure which one it was. I mean, both our centre-halves are rejects from elsewhere. Their two full-backs are, I think, of a combined age of about 90. And they ran and played football far better than anybody on our team all day. It's so disappointing. But it was a pass from one of their centre-halves that just cut right through our midfield. Dissected us beautifully. But at the same time, he was under no pressure.
No.
You're under no pressure to make that pass. This is the point you made about Majorski not working hard enough, Asgard not working hard enough. Chermiti at times worked hard, but he didn't close the guy down either. Magoma goes with the forward, that fast centre forward they've got. I can't remember his name, Zimbabwean the guy, I think.
Yeah.
Magoma goes with him, leaving the left flank completely open. Completely open. And one of their lads is tearing forward, unmarked, as they all were.
Yeah.
Sterling is miles away from, is it Longogo? Is that the guy's name the boy scored? It's miles from him. I mean, it's ridiculous. He's like 20 yards from him.
Longello,
that's it.
Longello.
He's like 20 yards from him. He is nowhere near him. There's no one covering him. No midfielder's coming back. And the boy who scored it ended up, as I said, like the first goal, the freedom of Ibrox. He just came in through that, right? And it's interesting, we're going to talk about Tav tonight, but Tav's had a lot of stick. I've yet to speak to a Rangers fan, and you might change that, and I'm not going to ask you just now because I want you to tell me afterwards, after we've talked about the game today. But I've yet to speak to a Rangers fan who hasn't said, it's probably right for Tav, time for Tav to go. Some are happy he's going. Most I've spoken to aren't happy he's going, but accept that, the time has come. Tav's taken quite a bit of stick this season. That right flank of ours has been getting targeted. I tell you, it was targeted today. Tav was not in that park, and it was found wanting. It was found really wanting.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a player problem. I think it's an issue around how we set ourselves up, Jamie. An issue around how we approach the game.
Yeah. Sterling today was a little bit. He got caught out of position a couple of times as well. Sterling.
Yeah.
And I'm I'm one of them with Sterling. Sometimes I go, do you know what? He's really solid. He's a good enough defender. He's probably, you know, our best defender as a right back at the club at the moment, this moment in time. The problem I've got with Sterling is like John Souter. You know, are you going to get a run of games at him? Is he going to play a full season? You know, after 3-4 games, he can't play an AstroTurf, so we've got to can't play him. Then you get the situation where he'll always get an injury of some sort.
It looked like he picked up a knock today.
And that concerns me. I think, if I'm honest with myself, as a coach, I'd be looking at that and saying, you know what, I've run out of patience with this. I'm fed up.
I think Sterling will go in the summer. I think we'll.
I'm hoping we can't sell him.
We'll release him. I think in the summer.
Yeah, I think we've got to go and we've got to go and get a right back. Listen, I'm hearing that Nathan Patterson's is a possibility.
I suppose if we want people who get injured all the time,
and I'm going, he's another one that's injured. So you need to go and get another. Listen, you need to go and try and get somebody the same kind of quality of Romans on that side, who's got the same kind of attitude.
Well, you want to sign Tav of 10 years ago. Tav came from Wigan.
Yeah.
And Wigan reserves, I think. You know, I mean, these players are out there. You know, you just need. Yeah, well, look, it's not. Thankfully, it's not my job. But, you know, Sterling did not cover himself. And none of them, nobody in that team covered themselves in glory today.
No.
You could maybe say the guys who come on at half time. But let's be honest, none of them covered themselves in glory today. But Sterling, I thought he was certainly at fault for the second goal. He was miles from the guy. I don't know what his position was. I didn't know where he was playing.
Yeah.
If he's going to push forward and leave all that space, and one of the centre halves or one of the other midfielders has to come and tuck in and take that space. And that surely is quite basic stuff. You know, that's you know, I don't know. You just wonder what they were doing when they were away. I mean, you spoke about ourselves. I don't know why we waited till half time to change things, but we did. The only other thing in the first half I wanted to mention to you, get your thoughts on, was the Gassama penalty claim. Now, at the time, I thought, well, that's a free kick. You know, Gassama has cleverly got himself between the player and the ball. The boys come through him. You know, clever free kick. But I thought it was a free kick. I have seen it two or three times now, and you think, actually, that leg's in the box. You know that.
I think I've played it back at least half a dozen times, and I've had it in every angle and every slow mo you can. And his foot and part of his leg is inside the box.
Absolutely.
The referee he clearly doesn't look at it because his whole body is outside the 18-yard box, and I think that's persuaded the ref just to think.
So I don't blame the ref. I Clancy was at fault for quite a few things today, but I don't blame the ref for not giving it. Because at the time, straight away, I thought it was outside the box. Why is VAR? I've not seen that. Why is VAR?
Exactly.
Hang on, I'm actually
about this is what I was going to say then. That happens very quickly, and it can be half. You know, a ref can it can miss that or think.
Absolutely.
Is it in the box? Is it not in the box? Right. Yeah. Can you have a look at that for me? Give me a shout back if I need to come look at this, because I'm not quite sure. I'm thinking it's now outside the box, but I just want you to clarify it. What's wrong with doing that? Why did I not do it?
I don't know. I'm baffled.
If he looks at that on the screen, if he goes and looks at that, like we have, and we had the luxury of doing that, he's not done it, obviously, at the time of the game. If he goes over to the touchline and has a look at that in depth two or three times, I'm sure they're appointed to the spot. Because his leg was definitely in the box.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was in the box. I mean, look, we didn't deserve it at the time, but we would have taken it. And a 2-1 getting at half time is a different. Well, that's different.
Yeah.
You know, but. Very,
we don't seem to get these wee breaks, do we?
No. We're not carrying luck. You shouldn't need luck. You know, you do need to look at that. As I said, I don't think Clancy had a good game today. Clancy made some odd decisions. I thought he slowed play down. You know, but. I can accept the ref not giving the ref look at that saying, look, I can't be certain that was a penalty. It happened so quickly. He looks like he's outside the box. There's no excuse for VAR missing it, though.
No.
Half-time came, three substitutions. Interesting substitutions. Taking off Miofsky.
Yeah.
I agree, he wasn't doing much. We needed to change the formation, we needed to change the personnel, and we needed to change the tactics we were playing. We did all three of those. But taking off Miowski and bringing on Moore, taking off and bringing on Diomande and Magoma and bringing on Tavernier.
Yeah.
Which I thought was I thought that was interesting as well. You know, that bringing on the kind of old war horse after the week he's had and him not starting. But you know, what was needed was a change in attitude, because the energy, the application, you know, it baffled me. I mean, it was, my cousin and I were chatting about it, and as he said to me, he said, "You know, you wouldn't think the title was at stake here." You know, they're wondering about, like, it's a pre-season friendly at times. You know, the energy, you know, and you think, well, why is that missing? That's got to come from the dressing room. That's got to come from the manager and the coaches. They've got to send them out there. And I'm not trying to do the old-fashioned, you know, fire in their bellies, and, you know, but at the same time, you need a bit of that. You know, they need because Motherwell were.
Yeah.
You know, Motherwell won every 50-50 ball, Motherwell won it.
They were
50-50. That should never happen at Ibrox.
No. They looked as if they wanted it more than us. They looked livelier. They looked sharper all over the pitch.
Yeah.
They were first to every ball.
Yeah, and they were.
Every second ball, they were on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Listen, they're going to...
We had a 10-15-minute spell, Jamie, in the second half.
Yeah.
Between the goals, just before and then just after the second goal, where we were dominating. Where every ball that came out, we picked it up.
Yeah,
and we were going at them again. The first goal was actually a nice goal. You know, it was. We know Chirmiti can do that.
Yeah.
We know Chirmiti can beat a player. We know Chirmiti, if he gets ahead of steam, he's a hard man to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he stuck it away well. He obviously gave the keeper the eyes. And he stuck it away well, which was nice. And then I haven't actually checked this, but I think he scored a second. I've seen Raskin. Thing, but it looked to me like he scored the second. Did Raskin get a touch on it or something?
No, Chirmiti got it.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. Yeah. I saw somebody say it was Raskin that scored it, but I didn't think so either.
No,
but
then,
you know, big man at the back post, first good corner of the match.
It was, because those changes at halftime definitely made a wee bit of a difference. It gave them a bit of energy, and you're absolutely bang on what you said there. First 10-15 minutes. You could obviously tell he's had a go at them at half time, and he's made the three changes that you've just explained. And Moore makes a big difference for us. He's more direct.
Yeah.
I even see him track back at times. Like, he's tracking back in the left back position at times. And I'm going, that's what you need from a player, especially wide guys. They need to be helping the full backs, tracking back. And we touched on Gasana.
He's a more attacking, more naturally attacking player.
I
think Gasana is a naturally attacking player. I don't believe Asgard is. Asgard can win the ball and keep it, you know, keep it off a couple of challenges, but his natural instinct is to go backwards.
Yeah.
His natural instinct is to lay it off behind, whereas both Moore and Gasama didn't have a good game today.
Yeah.
You know, but both of them are, their natural instinct is to go forward.
Yeah. They run at people, where Asgard won't. He's more of a passer of a ball, but as you say, a lot of it's negative. It's sideways and backwards and keeping possession. It looks pretty and whatever, but really, if you want to go and win titles, you've got to be...
Well, if you're 2-0 down, you've got to get guys having a go. You've got to have guys moving forward. You know, I think... pardon me. I think that's really what's needed. And I think Moore... all three subs made a difference. The kick up the arse they clearly got at half-time made a difference.
Subs definitely made a difference. I definitely would have brought Barron on as well.
Well, of course, he did cut on, but not until...
He got like last 7 minutes. Yeah. And I'm like, the game was won by then. And I just think his tactics wrong there. I would have stuck him straight on that Elliot Watt just to stop him playing. And at that time, we had a bit of ascendancy for about 15 minutes in the second half.
Yeah. Well, 2 each at home. Then I think all the momentum is with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, we at that point, I think, you know, you ask 10 people, 9 of them are saying the winner in this game is going to be Rangers, because we've got the momentum. You know, we're the one. They've lost both centre halves at this point.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing fullbacks in centre half. You know, we're the ones that you think are going to be doing it, and then, you know, they break, and yeah, they break with such speed. You know, Tavernier was in their half, and they've got two players tearing down our right side with the ball. No defender or midfielder anywhere near them. You know, one of them makes, you know, gives them the pass by moving out wide, whereas the boy with the ball goes towards the centre, he passes it out, he beats his man, sticks it away. You know, there was an element of fortune. Fernandez deflects it. I think Butland probably would have saved it. But, you know, Fernandez sticks his... Fernandez has to... Unless he gets a shout, Fernandez has to stick his head out and try and stop that. And
it was unfortunate.
Couldn't grudge more than all the victory.
Well, you couldn't really, because they had some chances in the first half that we got away with, absolutely, you know, pretty light, in my view. But, you know, we get ourselves back in the game. We get a goal back. Obviously, you touched on it earlier. Tav comes on, he puts a good corner in, probably the only good corner we had in the game. Slings it back post, and Manny heads it back across the six-yard box for Chamiti to head out jump. Actually, it was Elliot Watt, he out jumped in his six-yard box. Gets us back in the game, 2-2, and then you're going, oof, game on here. And that's where they lacked a little bit of nous, and this is what I've been saying all season. We lack some of the experience in our team. And those situations to get games over the line, and for somebody just to say, look, hey, everybody was bombing forward at that time. Everybody and their dog were in the other half. We had three defenders back, which was De Giga,
Fernandez,
Manny at the back. Their goalkeeper catches it in his six-yard box, throws it out to the left-hand side, and I think it was the lad that scored the goal. Slipper punch.
I wasn't familiar with the guy. The boy that scored the first goal. Yeah.
Aye. Throws it out to him, and he runs 70 yards.
Unchallenged.
70 yards. Tav's get caught in their box with another seven players. So there was eight players I counted in total behind the ball, wrong side of the ball. He ran 70 yards before De Giga. He's backing off, backing off, backing off. And then it comes to a point where he says, well, I've got to go here. Yeah. Then he slips a good pass inside to the boy, cuts inside, hits a shot. I've watched this a couple of times myself, and I'm not sure if Jack Butland shouts to Manny to leave it, keep us. I think he's shouting, keep us. For me, Butland saves that.
Yeah, I think Butland's saving it as well.
He's saving it. He's actually catching it. It's not the best of shots.
No. He got deflection. Some fortune with the goal.
It's took a wicked deflection off his head and went in the goal, unfortunately. But we get caught with a sucker punch there, and that was just where you need an old head in the middle of the park to just go. Can you imagine somebody like a Ray Wilkins or something going back in the day, and he'd have been sitting in that midfield going, wait a minute, everybody's here going gung-ho, I'm going to just sit in front of my defence here in case there's a break-off. Yeah. Just somebody that's clever, and we lack that.
Yeah, there's a lack of experience in the team.
Definitely is.
And it
shows. Those situations just shows.
It does. What does this result mean in terms of the season, in terms of the last four games, in terms of the title? You know, what does this result mean? Is it over?
It's definitely not over. It's mathematically doable. It's going to make it a hell of a lot harder now, because I was getting into these games in the split thinking, all we need to do really is draw with Hearts and get a draw with Celtic.
Win our home games. Then you got to beat Falkirk, yeah.
That's what I was thinking. The league's won. That's the way I was thinking about it. I'm going. But now the next game, you've got to go to Parkhead.
But that was a good result Hearts got today.
And
Hearts, to come back from one down away from home at Hibs. Yeah. All right, they were playing against nine men.
On their side, they had a couple of men sent off Hibs.
Yeah.
They were down to nine men at one point. And,
but still got a win.
They're slugging out the wins, you know, they're getting the wins.
Yep. So that's next Monday.
Monday we play Hearts.
Yeah, next Monday at Tynecastle.
They play Celtic, so they're two massive
now players. If we don't win that, I think the title's done. I know mathematically it's not, but I think the title's done.
I would technically be there. I think we have to go and get 3 points the next game.
You know, I think we now need to beat Celtic and we need to beat Hearts. And you look at that team and you think, and we talked about this off here, I don't remember a game this season where that team has played all 90 minutes. We play, we maybe give you a good 45. Usually we'll give you a good 30.
We don't play all 90.
And you just think, well, I don't think you can go to Tynecastle and Parkhead and not playing the way we play, even though for half an hour we can be really good. You need to be good. You know, you got to be playing 80, 85 minutes to win in those two places as things stand just now. Particularly the way those teams are currently winning. Celtic are grinding the results and it's heartbreaking. It's the poorest Celtic side in a decade. And the thought that they might win this league is damning on the rest of us. It really is. And Hearts, you know, keep waiting for Hearts to slip. And they're not. And we'll just have to see what happens next Monday because I do think if, like you, you know, I'm very disappointed. I am quite disillusioned by that performance today and some of the decisions made during that, before and during that match. But also, I've been around long enough to know that it isn't over until it's over. And the fact that this isn't a great Celtic team, you know, you never know. You never know when it might come. But we need to win next. If we don't win against Hearts, then I think that's it. I think it's between Hearts and Celtic then.
Yeah, I would say
so. We definitely need to win at Parkhead.
We definitely need to. Listen, it's gone from possibly having two draws against them. Yeah, I think you're going to have to go and win them now.
Yeah, definitely.
There's no doubt about that. You just have to go and win them.
Yeah.
And away from home, the next couple of games, it's going to be difficult. I just hope he doesn't. There's no way he can start Asgardsson and get Samas in these games.
I don't think he can either. I mean, Ant-Man, again, a player who's come back into the squad recently, contributed a wee bit. I thought, you know, Scott Olsen, every time Scott Olsen plays, you know, not particularly impressed. Certainly from an attacking perspective, not particularly impressed. So I wonder if Ant-Man will get a run today. He didn't. I thought he might have come on, he didn't. I don't know. I'm puzzled. The right side of our pitch is not strong, is not doing well. And if you're going to play Tav, then you need somebody else on that side covering whilst he goes forward. Because that's his strength. His strength's going forward, and so you need somebody covering.
This is the discussion I had with a couple of other lads, particularly like Derek Ferguson and that. We were talking about it, and we were saying, a wee bit perplexed that he's never gave Tav a chance in terms of the right midfield position. Considering, you know, we've tried.
But we don't play a right midfield. We don't have a right midfield position.
If he plays Sterling at right back, I mean, he's going with this. Everyone's saying that it's basically a 4-2-2-2-2, but it's a conventional 4-4-2. But Asgard's just been allowed to not play as a right, wide right player.
Yeah.
So there's imbalance there, which I don't like. I would rather play Tav on the right midfield with Moore on the left, with Raskin and Chiquani in the middle of the park. And, you know, you're two up front. Now, whether he goes with that, I don't see him doing that away from home personally. I know he likes it. He favours the one up front away from
home. I think if Moore's fit, I think Moore and Chimiti start up. I think we play more of a 4-4-2 then, and I think we have, you know, but who knows? Who knows? I don't know. You know, it's, you know, we used to moan that teams like Motherwell, and particularly Motherwell, would come to Ibrox and sit, you know, with 12 men behind the ball. You know, just ridiculously defensive, not even looking to win, just looking not to lose. It's brutal to watch, brutal to watch.
Yeah.
You know what? That Motherwell team has come to Ibrox a couple of times this season and they have not been looking to sit behind the ball. They've been looking to take the game to us, and that's twice they've done it. And we have no real answer to it. And that's a concern.
Yeah. It's definitely a concern for me. But I mean, you know, if teams are coming to Ibrox and dominating possession, there's a problem.
Yeah.
That means our midfield are not getting a hold of the ball. They're not retaining the ball enough. They're not getting on the ball enough. They're not prepared to take it under pressure. I was watching Motherwell today and they're taking it. Some of their midfield players were taking it on the edge of the 18-yard box.
They're brave enough to play that football and they played it well. I can think of one occasion they get caught where a boy ended up playing a slight pass and nothing came of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I can only think of one occasion where we caught them on that in the match. Right,
we just don't have the players I don't think we just don't retain the ball. And if you're playing for Glasgow Rangers, expected to win leagues, I would like to see a Rangers team dominate possession a lot more than we're doing. I
mean, at home,
most of the games we're playing now is 50-50% possession.
Yep.
And you're thinking, really? For spending this kind of money in transfers? I'm sorry, I think I'd be questioning that. I'd be thinking, why are we not dominating games?
Yeah. I don't think we can blame. We can't blame the current manager for the team he's inherited.
No, absolutely not.
Scott Wilson's not been great, but the other signings have, you know, when fit, you know, they look like they're going to contribute.
Missed Romans badly in the left back position because McGoma's a little bit lightweight, and the full backs get exposed today, both sides. Hence why he got dragged at half time as well.
But we know that.
In the last three games, I believe, well, alarmingly, we've not kept a clean sheet for quite a wee while.
No, we just lost five goals to Motherwell and St Falkirk.
Yeah. In the last three games, we've conceded eight goals. Yeah. In the last three games, Romans has not played.
Yeah. And I don't particularly think Romans is I don't look at him and think, oh, he's a great defender. You know, he's a guy who looks absolutely dynamite coming forward. You know,
I know exactly where you're coming from there. He's good at going forward. For me, he's just a little bit physical. He's a little bit more physical than
McGoma's quite lightweight.
He's got a bit of a presence about him. I don't think he'll get pushed off the ball, put it that way. Yeah. Whereas McGoma is quite lightweight, and that's where we struggle.
Yeah. Physicality wasn't the issue on our goals today. It was position and it was speed of thought.
Yeah. Caught out of position.
Guys just
caught out of position.
Getting back.
Too high up the field. Nobody tracking runners. And Motherwell just exposed that with pace. Yeah. And behind. And Manmanisi and Alingo, who scored the two goals, they caused us all sorts of problems.
It's just, you know, Motherwell this season, every time I've seen Motherwell this season, I've been impressed. And I know that, ironically, they lost, you know, the real form dip there before coming to play us.
Yeah,
you know, but I've been impressed, and as you said yourself, that's an unknown manager on a team that probably cost something like £500,000 to put together.
Maybe, yeah, exactly. That's frightening to think. You know, maybe that Lee Holiday in the Costa del Sol wasn't really called for last week.
Well, it didn't do us any good. You know, I don't think at any point in the season when we've had a break, we've come back better.
No.
I think we put our feet up. I don't know what happens.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, guys look tired today. Guys in that pitch, I mean, even Raskin at times, you look at Raskin and think, Raskin, are you carrying injuries? Have you looked knackered?
Yeah.
You know,
we definitely looked as if you're 100% right. There was no energy, no bite about the team. Nobody running behind it. We looked as if we couldn't get out of second gear today.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't nothing there.
Let's stop talking about today's game. A couple of things I want to touch on you before we finish. Tavernier, and obviously the announcement this week that he is going to leave at the end of the season. As you know, he is the last remaining player from our time in the Championship. Mm-hmm. I remember fondly the first time I saw him play. I was going to a wedding in Loch Lomond, and there was a minibus taking us, and my brother-in-law had brought his iPad along and was showing Rangers were playing Hibs in the Challenge Cup at Easter Road. And it was one of these two or three times in my life I've watched a Rangers team and not recognised them. Because it's the first time I've seen them. I remember I watched Rangers play the Irish team, Advocates' first game, European, kind of early European game. Shelburne? Was it Shelburne?
Shelburne.
I watched that game and I watched it in a naffy in Northern Ireland. And I was sitting with my mate who had known since childhood, two of his big blue noses, and I'm watching this Rangers team like, I don't know who these players are. I think it was like two guys in the team from the nine in a row from Walter Smith's team, and all of that was all these new guys. And you're kind of watching and thinking, I don't really know this team. I felt like that day. You know, Warburton had come in and he'd made a lot of changes.
Yeah.
A lot of new guys playing. And obviously Tavernier played that day. Or Tavernier, as we all thought his name was for about 6 months. He played that day, scored a belter. He scored twice, in fact. He scored an absolute belter of a free kick. And it was the game that you thought, oh, actually, I quite like this. I like what's happening here. You'd gone through the season before where McCoist had been there. I mean, it all got a bit nasty. Towards the end with McCoist and you know, the football wasn't great and folk were annoyed with him and money was getting paid, and then Stuart McCall would come in. Anyway, we'd got to the playoff final and you'd gub by Motherwell. There you go. A theme for today's tonight's programme. I watched that game. I watched that minibus when I got to a wedding, and there was a big queue. It was a lovely day and it was a big queue of traffic, and the minibus driver kept apologising. We were like, it's fine, mate, it's fine, just take your time, it's still 15 minutes of this game we're going, I won't miss it. And that was my first time seeing him, and you know, having literally never heard of him before that, you know, been totally unaware of him. And you could make an argument in the modern era, you could make an argument he's been our best signing. For what we paid for him,
mm-hmm.
what we got back, you know, there is an argument that he's been our best signing in the modern era. You know, I accept there are counter arguments to that. You know, he's a guy who has an incredible fitness record.
Yeah.
You know, when we're talking here about Sterling and players like that, Suter and guys like that, you know, Tavernier has an incredible fitness record. You know, he is not the perfect defender, but he has been involved and contributed to some of the most enjoyable nights of football. And I use the word nights because some of those European games, you know, will live with us all forever. They were just incredible. And he was very involved in those games.
Yeah.
You know, he really rose to that occasion. You know, he's been a captain who's been criticised. As a captain, he's been criticised by some of our players. He's a player that's definitely been targeted by some other teams, Celtic in particular, clearly targeted him at times in the past. He is a guy who sometimes switches off and someone comes in behind him. You're like, bloody hell, turn around and look. You know, he's been guilty of that. But he's been a fixture on the team now for 10 years, fixture around the club for 10 years. I'm going to miss him. And I do think he's one of these players that we'll appreciate more in 3 or 4 years' time. Whoever we bring in as our first choice right back next year, I think he's a player we'll appreciate more in the future. What were your own feelings when it was announced that he wasn't signing a new contract and we were leaving the club?
I think I was a bit surprised. I wasn't surprised that he was leaving. I think I knew Rangers a few weeks back. I knew that the contract offer wasn't getting... Well, that was never happening. In terms of...
You say it was never happening, it was never been accepted or it was never being offered?
It was not been offered.
So you think he just doesn't get offered a new contract at all?
No, he didn't get offered a new contract.
Nah, I didn't know that. I just assumed that he had been offered one, but it wasn't.
No. He's never got offered a contract that he's seen... fit for him, and being 34, he like any player, this is going to be his last move. So if he's looking for another two years, yeah, minimum, probably three, with his fitness record, as you've touched on there, is absolutely incredible, the amount of games he's played, and, you know, lack of injuries, because he's as fit as a fiddle. I've got good information firsthand that most of the guys' fitness at the club. My friend Craig Flanagan is one of the fitness coaches. Craig played in the reserves with Rangers with me back in the late 80s, 90s. Craig's heavily involved with the club in terms of the fitness. He always sung his praises. He says he was first in, last to leave, every day. Always in doing weights, doing a bit extra when everybody was, you know, bugging off to play golf or do what they do. He was, you know, immense. He said his attitude, application, he says it's just an absolute credit to work with. So off the back of that, I thought, you know, would it be, you know, could Rangers offer him something for another year? I know that he's looking for a bit more than that, and Rangers weren't going down that route, which I do understand, because I think the conversation is going to be, you know, you're going to be a bit part player. You're going to play probably a third of the games that you want to play in. And, you know, he's probably thinking, well, I'm 34. I want at least another two-year deal somewhere, and I want to play every week. So I don't blame him, you know. Yeah. And to be honest, we all know his defensive frailties. But for me, over the years, it's very unlikely you'll get a player at Rangers for 10 years again. These very few and far between that happens now. No. Just because of transfers, they all want to move. It's big money.
I think what underlines what you're saying there, Jamie, sorry, but in there, but I think what underlines what you're saying there is not only is he the last player from our Championship team, he's the last player from our Europa Cup final team.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Which was fairly recently.
Yeah. I was going to touch on that because I think Taft's had a bit of a raw deal in the decade that he's been at Rangers. It's been quite a poor team. Probably the poorest Rangers team, I would say, in quite a long time, in that spell where he's been at the club. And that's why I think a lot of people say, you know, he's not been a great captain because he's not won titles like Barry Ferguson. He's not done this like Richard Goff or Terry Butchers. Now, listen, I'm going to put this out there. I'll put my chin out for Tav and say, if James Tavernier had played for Rangers at right back in the late 80s and the 90s, it would have been probably one of the best right backs we'd produced, because they would have had players next to him, i.e. Richard Goff's, Terry Butcher's, John Brown, those kind of guys.
Oh, yeah.
And midfielders that were all class and who could use their brain.
He had Brian Loudon up ahead of him.
And can you imagine him in those teams? Yeah. That's my point. He was playing in an era where Rangers were really poor. Poor sides and surrounded by very mediocre players for me. Yeah. If James Tavernier had been in that different era, I think we'd be talking about a different James Tavernier here, yeah, winning so many more trophies.
And that's actually why I think we'll appreciate more.
I hope so. He deserves a bit of praise for me.
Yeah.
Because his attitude, and, you know, he's been a great servant. And it's unfortunate that he hasn't won more. And it's for those reasons, I believe. I just don't think he's been at the club in the best time.
I think there's a misunderstanding of what a captain does. I think there's still a lot of people, and not just Rangers supporters, I suppose other clubs as well, who still have this thing that the captain, you know, somehow leads the club. And I don't think that's what a captain does. I don't think a captain has done that since probably since Jock Wallace's time. But certainly since, you know, certainly in the last 20 years, that's not how a captain works. I know we've had guys like Barry Ferguson who were... Ferguson was unusual in that not only was he our captain, he was probably our best player for most of that period. Now, you could argue that we had other players who were equally as good, but, you know, Ferguson was an exceptional player in his position. But Tavernier's time is different. You know, he's had to play under these different managers, teams change, and backroom changes, directors board changes. You know, there's been no stability in that time.
No.
Anyway, I am sorry to see him go. I would have liked him to stay as a cover, you know, as a guy to, like you said there, who, you know, look, you know, you'll probably play a third of the games.
Yeah.
You never know how that might go. You might end up playing more than that, but that's what we need. We need to look to bring in a new right back. We need to bring in somebody who's a first choice right back. And I could understand. I would like them to have stayed in those terms. I understand him maybe looking at that, saying, look, you know what? I think I've still got, I've not got much longer to go in my career, and I want to play as much football as I can. So
I think that's changed.
I drop down and then I drop down somewhere else. And,
That's his attitude all over. I don't think it's a money thing for James now. However, I know for a fact that there'll be NSL teams, there'll be teams out in Saudi, dare I say it, he might end up over there with Brendan. And funnier things happen in football. And he'll get a couple of years deal. He could play out there for probably another three seasons and absolutely cash in on it. And good luck to him.
His
attitude for me is immense. Yeah. And he could play at that level for another 3 years, no problem. He's fit.
Last thing I want to talk to you about tonight is the reports coming out that the Celtic have refused tickets for Rangers supporters for the upcoming Old Firm. I think the only thing about this that we all thought was, well, that's not a surprise. You know, I think we all thought, I didn't see that coming. I think we all knew they were going to try something like this.
Yeah.
I can't decide if this is just posturing. If this is posturing by Celtic.
I'll say it, John. I think it's a dirty wee ploy.
Yeah. Well, let me just explain what I mean by that. Is that Celtic are saying this publicly to appease their own support, knowing that the SPFL will overturn it and say, well, you can't do that. So, you know what, that's not how this will work. You can't. Now, knowing the SPFL, they may well not. They may well say, oh, okay, Celtic will bend over and we'll do as you say. But I think my sense is posturing, that this is done to, I mean, you know, to suggest that, you know, we'll give you tickets, but you can't let any of them in. And I was talking to a guy a couple of days ago there about this, and he was saying, you know, so if you've never, you know, if you're a supporter and you happen to sit in that part of the Copeland Road and you identify yourself, but if you've never been involved in any trouble, if you've not got, you know, any kind of police record, you've never been thrown out of a ground, you know, if you're all these things, there is absolutely no way on earth any club can turn around and say you can't come in. Yeah. You know, if you're somebody who's, you know, been involved in stuff in the past and you've had banning orders and things like that, you know what? You know, well, that may well come back and bite you again.
You can't turn around and say you don't let them in.
Yeah. In the end, I don't know, a bit of me thinks this is just posturing on behalf of Celtic. This is the part. I mean, the irony that they've just let their own, you know, having banned their own ultras for 6 months, whatever, they've only just let them and after the trouble they caused at the last game. So they can go, but we can't. So, you know, what did you think? Do you think it's for real? Do you think it's going to be a ban? Do you think we'll end up going there with no supporters? Do you have a view in this?
I don't see the SFA letting that happen. I think they'll try it, and for two reasons. I think obviously, if they've got a full house of their own fans, they'll see it as an advantage. I think they're obviously thinking about the backlash of maybe Rangers fans retaliating over the way that they basically defaced our Brimley Road stand.
I think they've got
that in mind, and they're thinking that there's just going to be backlash, which there probably will be. I'm not lying about that. They probably will. But I don't see them being allowed to. I just don't see that happening. However, certain sources tell me that they're actually running the SFA. So,
well,
you just don't know.
I think we've all thought that for a while. So we'll just have to wait and see. Jamie, appreciate you giving up your Sunday night to
not a problem
sit and have a post-mortem with me. Yeah. That wasn't a lot of fun, I'm sure, for you.
That's my record's gone now, John.
Well, unfortunately, my record's abysmal this season, and I think I'm due on one more time, and I think I will be. Sorry if I could take me off. Take me off and put me on a preview show, because this can't. I'm done coming on and talking about Rangers defeats this season. I'm an absolute Jonah this season. There's no denying it. I'm afraid it's me. I'm to blame.
I think we need to listen. Sometimes a wee reality check. We go, do you know what? We've come a long way from what it was like, you know, under the Russell Martin days.
Yeah.
And to be in the hunt and still in the hunt, you know, considering where we were, sometimes you've got to pinch yourself and say, do you know what? We're in the mix, and nobody, I don't think, could ever perceive that happening.
I would agree with that. At one point the season, I did not see that, but it doesn't stop me being hacked off.
No, absolutely.
Garbage today.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jamie, appreciate you giving up your Sunday night and coming on and
enjoying it.
Hearing your thoughts with us. If I could just remind everybody else that the podcast, if you are interested in catching up on old ones or listening to any new ones, you'll get us on Acast, iTunes, YouTube, Castbox, Stitcher, or Spotify. There will be a preview show next Sunday night. Yes, you did hear that right, because the game against Hearts is on Monday, because it's the bank holiday Monday next weekend. So we are playing Hearts on the Monday, so there will be a preview show on the Sunday night. It will be Craig and another, as yet we don't know who. So keep an eye on Frankie's socials for that. Thank you for giving up your Sunday evening or whenever you're listening to this. And hopefully the next time we're on, we've got bigger smiles on our faces. Good night.
Good night.